Welcome to the Everyday Bow Hunter. I'm your host, Mike Manley, retired Green Beret turned bow hunter, joined by my brother, Dan Zimmer. We're here to share tips, stories, and talk gear, all from our unique points of view. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned bow hunter, I think you're going to like it. So let's go.
Dan, here we are, episode 16, couple weeks, we're back on track now, ready to go.
It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday, yes, we are filming this on Super Bowl Sunday. Dan and I had a kind of eventful week the last week, and a lot of action here in central Pennsylvania with the Great American Outdoor Show. We have a lot to talk about with that, a lot of different vendors that we talk to. Yeah. It is, if you can ever get to it, it's one of the biggest shows there is. It's awesome. And if you've been there, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're going to start off the podcast today. We had some listener, actually one listener question that came in via my website in the comments, and I'm sorry, in a contact form. And the guy had kind of a two-pronged question.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, you talk about winter scouting. You talk about finding buck bedding.
Yeah.
Okay. What, I have no idea what any of that means.
What is buck bedding?
What do you focus on when winter scouting?
Yeah.
And how do you know that you know where would you look for buck bedding? So it's kind of a multifaceted
because it's
answer.
Seasonal.
Yeah. But when you're talking about winter scouting in particular, you might be looking at, you know, first off, you got to find deer. Right, you want to know where deer are. So, if you have a hunting area established where you don't, the first thing I recommend is get one of these new mobile apps that are out there.
Yeah.
Now, I personally use OnX.
Same here.
And you know, there's other ones out there. They're really not. I have no, like, this is the best one. I haven't tested a bunch, so I can't say which one's best. But find yourself an app, get comfortable with that app, and start doing some e-scouting, where you look at the area you're going to hunt in. And the first thing you should do, really, is find out the areas where you don't think deer would be.
Yeah.
You know, if it's huge open areas, they might travel through those areas, but that's not where they're going to
be concentrated.
Not where they're going to be concentrated. It's not where they're going to spend most of their time. Getting out there, and if you can glass, great. If you can spot deer, great. Right? But if not, Dan, as I think it was the last episode, we talked a little bit about slides again.
Yep.
Right? So you find that there's areas where there's deer crossing the road, there's always a good place to start. You got to find where the deer are first, and that comes down to really understanding the three things that a deer does, or four things a deer does during the day. One, they go to food, they go to water, they travel to all those locations, and then they go to bedding, and they bed through most of your day, right? So that is the places you look. So starting off, you have a water source. That's going to be your number one, because not only can you find activity there at water, but it's most likely the place you're going to find tracks.
Yeah. We had a nice little debate about this exact question prior to us shooting this episode. And, you know, I was, you know, how... You could turn it almost into a two-part question. So the difference between doe bedding and buck bedding, you know, doe bedding, it's going to be multiple beds in a circle. Buck bedding is normal single bed, stretched out, mostly near scrapes or rubs, you know, stuff like that. But I think the actual question was, how do you know the difference, or
how can you identify where buck bedding is? Yeah.
And we had talked about, you know, they're going to be higher up where they can catch that scent coming up from behind them, and they also have the view, but in certain times of the year, they're going to be more in the real thick stuff where they have more cover. Where when doe are bedding, they're bedding all together where there's a lot more eyes, more ears, more noses to protect them. And buck are totally different. They're more singular like that.
Yeah, I think we talked about finding trails too. Yeah. A lot of times in years past, I got stuck on, okay, I found a great trail coming off the road, and there's just tons of tracks in it, and 99 times out of 100, that's a doe family group, right? And they're all walking together, and they're back and forth on that trail every day, and they're very habitual because they stay on that. Yeah. But you know, during the hunting season, if you find doe, right, you've also
found buck.
Because they're going to be after the doe in that part of that mating ritual they go through, and they're going to put rubs and scrapes in that area to you know, leave their signature, mark their scent, and communicate.
And if one of the doe are hot, you definitely found buck. So you need to hunt where they are.
Now, during the rut or pre-rut, a lot, as you get right into that rut time frame, what's going to happen is bucks are going to bed just off wind or downwind of doe bedding. So they can be close. They can be scent checking those does and can tell when they come into heat stuff. But now, this time of year, finding those beds that were left during the season that you can go back and find is a key part of winter scouting, right? You get out there and you look at, there's a couple key locations you can find buck bedding. And that is, it's just like Dan said, if you do know where rubs and scrapes are, they're probably going to be not too far above that. Yeah. But if you're in a, you know, you look at points, you look at areas just off of points, you know, where there's drainages and stuff, where they actually can take advantage of all the things that they look for when they look for buck bedding, and that's having wind over their back, thermals up to their front, in hill country specifically.
Yeah.
In hill country, you know, thermals coming up, and then visual, look for security where they can see any threats coming to them, and then also having escape routes.
Right.
They can get away.
Now, on open country, me and you can't really speak to that because we haven't hunted open country. We used to hunt farmland. It's a totally different animal. We don't have a whole lot of experience in that. No. But we have also found, or did you want to finish?
Now, there's one thing with that specifically is that, and like I said, we haven't hunted it much, but a lot of times buck will use, you know, they don't have a thermal advantage in like flatter
correct
ground. They will actually work with that wind in their face, unless they have really good visual out in front of them.
Right.
Then they'll have it at their back. So it can be very tough, you know. But the first thing that you really have to think about is what kind of cover do they have?
Right.
You know.
Well, the farmland that we hunted was on a hill, so it was not flat, wide open. That's what I mean. We don't have that experience, but. So we were talking about this prior to this episode also. What we have realized up at our cabin, and there's other cabins close to our camp, and we talk to them, they're friends of ours, buck like to bed near human activity. So the cabin up above us, it's very thick right to the right side of that cabin, and there's always buck bedded in that. I guess they get a sense of security knowing where we are, where the threat is. And then they can have their little escape routes from that, but they're not always where you're going to, the obvious, not where you're going to think. They will be close to humans, too.
It reminds me of, so I was listening to a Dan Infault or video one time, Dan Infault video I was watching, and he was talking about how many times he's going into, like, parking areas where you can go down a main trail and hunt or whatever, and that the buck would be bedded
right
looking right where they can see that parking lot.
Yeah.
Because that's where the threat is, right? And they're not worried about it. It's like a hiking trail, right? That hiking trail coming off that people are using as a hunting access point.
Yeah.
As long as people would stay on that hiking trail, he said the buck wouldn't move.
But as soon as they come off
that trail, then it's a threat. And because they understand that that's a common place that the humans are going, just like a road, you know, but as soon as they come off that, now things are different. He said multiple times that he would literally had scouted and found buck bedding in the area like that. And when it came to the season, he would actually walk, park in an odd spot away from there.
To try and throw the situation off.
Yeah, and walk in a much longer distance to get into that area where he could hunt them because of that. And this season, I thought about that and I went in to that spot down to a place that we call Red Man.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that access road goes up to that pit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up there where they could look over the road because it's a high point there. And I found multiple buck beds in there. And one of the indicators, as opposed to doe bedding, is a lot of times they'll have a rub that they can rub their horns on right when they're in the bed. So when you see a depression in the ground that's about the size of a deer's body, and it's a single one, versus multiple.
Mm-hmm.
It's buck versus doe.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to give them a little more credit. They're pretty savvy animals and they're pretty smart. And they know what pressure is that's on them. So they game plan. I hate to say it, that it's that much of a calculated thought, but they game plan for that. You know,
it's, and when it's hunt, when there's a lot of hunting pressure, they will bed in the thickest of thick. And I think we talked about this once.
Kicking them out like rabbits.
I literally almost stepped on a buck when we were putting on a drive one time, and he was thick in Mount Laurel. He was really, really in a thick point where he had no visual.
Yeah.
At all. He was relying purely on his nose
and
sound. So he let me get right up on him, and we've literally kicked him out like rabbits.
Yeah. So what do you think? You want to talk about our week, the exciting week that we had? I mean, exciting for us. We went to the Great American Sportsman Show, Outdoor Show. I think at one point it was a sportsman show.
Used to be a sportsman show.
So Mike went up Saturday. He got to do some networking and talking, but...
Yep. I was able to get to a couple of places that I wanted to talk to different people. One of my things that I had wanted to do is I wanted to talk to Joe Miles from Ozio. Mm-hmm. Ozio has given me multiple products to review and check out, and they've been very kind to me in that regard. Yeah. And I'd never, you know, I got to talk to Joe on email, but I never got to physically meet him. And that was great. Incredible guy. Shout out to you, Joe. Very, very, very nice guy. I was able to have a nice chat with him.
Yeah. Which is kind of hard in that environment because there's so many people. I mean, when you go to an event like this, there's times where you're so packed in there and you're looking at a table, let's say this table here, and you want to look at this product, you have people ultimately pushing you down the line and you don't have the time to spend because it's that crowded. But
I was fortunate because when I first went, I got in there, it opened up at 9 in the morning, I got through the gate at 9:04, and I went back to the archery hall, and there might have been 15 people in the whole hall. Everybody had gone right to the guns and stuff in the front right away. I went right to archery, so I was able to walk. The first place I went to was Ozio's stand. I knew where they were, and I went in and was able to talk to them, and that was great. And I kind of circled around then, and I have a bunch of Exodus Outdoors Rival cameras, and I knew Exodus had come out with a new Rival camera, and I wanted to go check it out, and I wanted to talk to them. And when I went to their booth, I recognized a guy there. His name's Clint Campbell from Truth of the Stand podcast, and I started talking with him. Clint, great conversation, man. Thanks for
giving you the time.
Thanks for being down to earth, really.
Yeah.
We had a great conversation. We started talking about how the bears had destroyed my camera, and he told me a story. He told me a story about how he was hanging a camera. And he was one stick up doing the same thing I always do to get the camera up above the sight line and security line of people getting to it. And he said, he kind of heard a, and then another, and he was like, he had his pistol with him, his on his hip. And he said he was up on the stick and he turned around and he said bear was like 10 yards away.
Ugh.
And he said he started going, hey bear.
Hey bear.
Yeah, yeah. And he said he didn't stop saying hey bear at any time. He said he kept saying hey bear. And he said, but the bear came right to the tree. And so he already had his pistol drawn. And he said he didn't want to shoot the bear. So he shot a warning shot like right next to the bear. And that was all it took. He said he shot one time and the bear was gone. Yeah, yeah. He said the problem was, he said, dang it. The bear ran in the direction to my car.
Talk about your all-time backfires.
Yes. So he said he was very deliberate about getting back to his vehicle then.
Yeah. Making a lot of noise. Yeah.
But I know all about it. I've dealt with that myself. But they're very cool, cool guys. And Exodus told me how they're getting rid of their Scout Tech app that covers their cameras. And they have their own app coming, and they wanted to make it more economical, so they're actually lowering the prices on the coverage that you get for your camera as far as bandwidth and stuff. You know, if you have cell trail cameras, you know you have to have a service that you pay for monthly for the app, and it can get pretty pricey the more cameras you get. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're looking at making customers happier and lowering the price on that. So I think that's a good deal. So I look forward to seeing that. They told me it's going to come out in May.
Okay.
So that was a good deal there.
So me and you decided go back up Wednesday night. I always like going up in the evening. look, we live real close to this thing, so it's, you know, half hour, 45 minute drive up there, if that. I like going up in the evening because most of the people have left for the day, and this gives you that quality time with different vendors and really to get hands-on with some of this stuff. And, you know, like we talked about the last episode, the off-season obsessions, well, this kind of feeds right into that because this is where you get to play with what you want to tinker with. So I get up there, and I pretty much head straight for the archery hall. But before I get in there, I end up stopping at Moultrie, and I bought a Moultrie cell cam, and pretty happy. I put it in the backyard, and now it's just taking pictures of my dogs. But I just wanted to see what the response time was, like sending in to get high-def video, all that stuff. I wanted to see how it worked. I wanted to make sure it worked before I drove all the way up to our cabin, set it up, and was, you know, that way I wasn't setting myself up for failure. I could just plug and go.
You knew what to expect.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and that's a multi-network camera.
It's a multi-network camera, so you don't have to worry about Verizon or AT&T or this or that. So it's an app-based system, runs off of whoever signal is the best. Yeah, for one camera, it comes out to about $10 a month.
Oh, is that the Moultrie Pro? Is that
Moultrie? I got the Moultrie Pro. Pretty
was
happy
that,
with
was the, that Edge Pro?
Edge Pro, Edge correct. Pro. Yes, okay. It is actually the Edge Pro. Pretty happy with the results. I just for one this 1 month here before I take it up to camp, which I'll be setting it up in Spring Gobbler. Set it up for a month just to see the inner workings of it and just to play with it and get used to it, so I know how to manipulate it, which is nice. It's different features on it. You can, if a twig keeps setting it off, you can block out that part of the screen so it stops happening. Different things.
That's pretty good.
The high def quality that comes back. I showed you that video of the dog in the backyard barking.
Very impressive.
I'm pretty impressed with it so far. It is 33 megapixels, which is pretty good compared to some of the that are out there. But so I bought that camera. I kind of just went into the archery hall and I knew he was coming, so I backed back out because I wanted to experience it with him. And he shows up not but 5-10 minutes later, and we go in. We're not even in there 5 minutes. This guy. So we had talked about prior podcasts. His bow took crap. He had to use my bow to finish the season.
Yes.
This is where you come in.
Yeah, so I had put my hands on three different bows when I was there on Saturday. And that was the Elite Ethos.
Yeah.
The Bowtech Core SS.
Right.
And the Matthews Lift. And I didn't shoot any of them. I just put my hands on them. So I actually got over-aggressive and eager and basically said to myself, as soon as I put the Matthews Lift in my hand, compared to the other bows,
you knew
it was just so different. It was lighter. It was light in the hand. Mm-hmm. And it just felt good, you know, this part of it, you know.
That's a Matthews.
Yep. And so we went back in
Wednesday.
Dan and I went in Wednesday, and I, boom, as soon as I was in there, I bought the bow. In fact, I got the color I wanted, which was kind of a, you know, I got like, they call it the green ambush, but it's like an olive drab.
Yeah.
An olive drab.
Very similar.
Yeah, so, and it's a nice looking bow. In fact, the guy that worked there, and I don't know if he was just playing it up or what, but he was...
Oh, he was playing it up. He was sales pitching it.
He didn't have to sales pitch it. I was buying it. So. Yeah. But, yeah, he was saying that was the same one he wanted. He had to deal with the manager there that if that bow was left over, that he was going to let
him have
it. He
was going to get it, yeah.
Because he ordered it. So anyway, yeah. I don't know if he was just playing me or what, but he was a good salesman if he wasn't. So anyway, didn't matter because I was buying it. And I got that, and I got a new QAD rest.
The Matthews rest.
With it.
Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, I consider, like I said to you earlier before the podcast, I consider the rest to be one of the most important things on your bow. You know, your sight, you can throw any kind of sight on there. As long as you have that sighted in, you're going to hit what you're aiming at, right? But your rest is key to that arrow coming out good and silent. And because the bow, while it could be really quiet, if your rest isn't, if you have a whisker biscuit on there or something, it might not be quite as quiet.
So I'm happy that you got it from Lancaster Archery.
Not Lancaster
Archery. Not Lancaster. We're from Lancaster, and we call it Lancaster, not Lancaster.
Yeah, so if you see...
We're not from England.
So if you see what you think is Lancaster archery...
It's Lancaster archery.
Lancaster archery.
So at any rate, what nice thing is they're right down the road from us. So if anything happens and you need to evoke that warranty, they're right down the road to get it right. And knowing back a little back history with Lancaster archery, they're going to make it right. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be in business the way that they are and so big.
It wouldn't be a national name.
Right. There wouldn't be a national name if they weren't. So, you know, shout out to Lancaster Archery, our hometown, you know, supply shop. You know, it's...
Great service there.
Great service.
So yeah. What happened was I said, okay, this is what the one I want. Okay, here's the rest. And the guy's like, hey, I'm going to take care of you here. And they gave me 50% off the accessories for the show, which is great because that was...
Yeah. That's $300 rest. $300 for $150. Yeah. So that's incredible.
It's incredible. And so we went from there while they were taking care of the bow and setting it up for me to get ready for me to buy. We went from there, and I wanted to. Did we go to the Arrows first, or did we go to Arsenal first?
No, we went straight to, because you had told me Saturday about Sirius, and you know, different on the last podcast, I was talking about getting new arrows, and. My issue with Method Archery, they shut down. I can no longer get arrows from them. And you introduced me to Sirius Archery product. So we go to their stand. I mean, within 2 minutes, these guys, good old, you know, good Southern, you know, Kentucky boys.
Yeah, it's basically out of Kentucky.
They instantly just got into good conversation with us. Next thing you know, I was buying 6 arrows from them. And then you bought 6 arrows from them. We actually got different ones. I got the Geminis, and you got the Apollos. Me only drawing 60 pounds, or pulling 60 pounds. I had to go with a little bit different of an arrow to get a higher FOC.
To get a higher FOC. And that FOC really is going to help you. That FOC is the forward of center. So basically, when you're talking about FOC, you're talking about the percentage of your arrow that is forward.
Yeah.
Of the center portion of your arrow, which that balance point could be anywhere. But
right.
The more weight you got towards the front, it's hard to do because, you know, with the whole weight of the arrow being in the shaft, generally, it takes quite a bit of added weight at the front.
Yeah.
And you got like 18% FOC out of that, didn't you?
Yeah, which I wanted to be around 15, but I'm happy with the results. And like I said, I've been listening to the podium archer, that MFJJ, and him talking about the fletching situation, and I had talked to you about that a little. We both had been using 4-fletch. I wanted to go back to 3 because of what hearing him, and it kind of, when the technician started punching it in, he's like, I wouldn't go with 4-fletching. I'd go with 3-fletch. It definitely cured any thoughts I had or negative thoughts. I was like, wow, this is exactly what MFJJ said. It kind of went along with it, and I was like, this is a test. You know what I mean? Because this is exactly what I thought, and, you know, I was getting what I wanted. So that was really great experience. Them guys were awesome to talk to. I never got my confirmation email, so I started emailing them. Went into customer service, and I mean, it wasn't but a half hour later, they're communicating back through 5 emails back and forth throughout the day. Everything, we got on track. So all it was as simple as they got one little thing wrong in my email address, and they couldn't send it to me, obviously, because it was the incorrect email address. But everything on the order was right. Once I did get the confirmation email, I'm really looking forward. They should be here in 2 days. Very, very quick.
You know, so
very
we ordered quick. Those. We ordered. So what? Anyway, Dan got his arrows, and when they're doing a whole custom setup here, right, for Dan, and so they're going through the custom setup. They're saying, okay, they're going to square it. They're going to do all these additions. They could put reinforcements on there so your front end is secure. So if it could take a whop, you know, hit a deer and still reuse that arrow over and over again. And the guy, so they have a Hunt Pro warranty. So if you can show that arrow, if it breaks on a deer.
While hunting. Not target shooting, not.
They're going to replace it. They're going to rebuild it, and they're going to send you a new one, which I think is a great warranty.
Yeah.
You don't see that very, very often.
Yeah.
But so Dan gets done, and I'm not going to quote the show price that they had, but so Dan gets done, and the guy tells him the price for this whole custom setup of six arrows.
Let's just say it was should have been over $200. Mm-hmm. And when that price came in, he looks at me and goes, I'm getting some too.
I said, I'm getting six too. I'm getting six. Yeah. And so we went through the build for me, and I got the Apollo versus the Gemini.
Oh, great.
And I was able to get, so my arrow weight, I had that's it. It basically came out to 513 grains for the arrow.
Which is, that's going to be some kinetic energy cooking there.
It's going to be cooking, yeah. 125 grain broadhead, which you were using the same.
Yes.
And what was your arrow weight?
I was around 450.
450.
And I told him right from the get-go, I want to be around 450.
Because you're shooting 60.
Because I'm shooting 60. I know what I was prior to it with the Method Archery arrows. I know what my FOC was. But they got me pretty darn close, and I couldn't be happier. Like, shout out to Serious Archery. Thank you for giving us the time. Thank you for all the good words and everything. We truly appreciate, especially your customer services.
Yeah,
on point.
And I had found out previously that my median weight, what was perfect with for me, was around 500. Mm-hmm. So going a little bit higher, 10 grains, basically 13 grains,
right,
is nothing when you talk about it. I had shot 605 grains before.
Yeah.
Out of a similar IBO speed bow.
Yeah.
And they were just a little bit too much of an arc.
Yeah.
I think 500 is going to be perfect for 30 yards.
That's what I wanted. With the Method arrows, I think I was like 479. And I had some arc going. And I wanted to flatten that out a little bit. So I went down to 450. I wanted to get down just a little bit just to try and flatten that out. So we're 2 days out here from them coming. I can't wait to shoot them. This is like Christmas morning. I mean, yeah. You spend that much money on something, and like we had said before, it's not the bow, it's the arrows that kill.
Arrows that kill.
This is where we put our money in, right here. This is like, this is the investment. Not, you made the big investment, but I'm saying with the arrows, this was my big investment this year, so I'm really looking
forward to it. And the one thing the Lancaster Archer guy said to me about Matthews that I didn't know when I was getting that, as he said, they have a policy that they guarantee that regardless of the bow you purchase, that they will have the spare parts in inventory to fix your bow for at least 15 years.
Yeah, I mean,
that there is a heck of a, that's a big deal. 15 years of having spare parts for your bow, you know, I don't see me keeping it for 15 years because I'll end up buying something else. But
yeah. Well,
but the big thing for me on the bow, while we say the arrows kill the deer, and the arrow is your most important part, really, but also a bow that you can rely on, one. Yeah. Two, is going to be quiet when you shoot it, right?
Smooth.
Especially when you draw, it can be quiet. That was a big thing for me this season. Every time I heard that creak on that bow, I was just furious every time I started pulling it back. So having it be quiet, and the more quiet your bow is, the less chances of a deer jumping the string.
Or just busting you.
Yeah, or busting you, yeah. So that was important to me, but the arrow thing, as soon as I saw that, now I still plan, as I said before in the other podcast, I still plan on building out at least six arrows because I want to see, I really would like to see the difference now.
Yeah.
And see what I can do and test my own capabilities.
I'm personally pumped for you to get a Matthews. That's what I started off with, me and my buddy Jevin. We went and bought the same bow on the same day. From the same guy at the same shop, the Matthews Adrenaline, and that was...
Where did you buy this?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. It was like 14 years ago now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, actually, it's probably closer to 17 years ago, actually, now. So, we went, bought them, and, I mean, I didn't know any different, but I loved that bow. Mm-hmm. I do know that. Then I switched off to the Bowtech. Loved that. Again, I keep going through this again. And then now I'm with Elite, and I love that. Am I jealous that you got this new Matthews lift? Yeah, because I know the quality of a bow that you just got, and I am stoked for you, man. Like, Matthews, you can't go wrong. It's a great bow. It's kind of like Hoyt, Elite.
I'm not going to talk any smack about it until I actually put some arrows down range.
Well, you're not going to be disappointed.
So.
Know? It just ain't possible.
Yeah, and I, you know, so the whole reason I got the Bear Alaskan was because I had come off of my shoulder issue. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I was going to be able to.
So why spend the money?
Right. And now I feel good. My shoulder's feeling good. And the bow failed on me. I'd still be using that bow if it wouldn't be for the problems I'm having with the creaking and then basically almost blowing up
on you. Yeah.
So anyway, now I'm gonna let my youngest boy shoot it instead.
Get it fixed for him. Hey, yes. I mean, that's a good beginner bow. Because this will really see where he's at and then get the fundamentals down. And then you can start spending the money on the higher end, flagship models and stuff.
Get him behind it and see how he does with it. So
moving on, Mike wanted to show me this. The owner of Hawk created another company. It's called Arsenal. And I'm not... I mean, by rights, I shouldn't care because I'm not a climber. I'm a ground hunter exclusively. I do not climb anymore. But let's just say this. I have no skin in the game. This is kind of where you want the review to come from, right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to use the product. But we passed Tethered. We passed, what's the other one?
Was that Evolve?
Well, at any rate...
I can't remember. Anyway.
Elevate. Past Elevate. We passed Tethered. And we get over to this Arsenal.
Trophy Lime is there.
Trophy Lime.
Cruiser.
And Cruiser. That's what I was looking for. Cruiser. Mm-hmm. I will say this. Just hands-on, touching, looking, watching. Again, I have no skin in the game. This Arsenal stuff is the real deal. It's incredible. And I don't know what the price point is compared to, because I've never went down that rabbit hole with any of these companies. But I know if that was the rabbit hole I was going to go down, I'd really be interested in this Arsenal. Quality stuff.
So Lone Wolf Custom Gear was there as well. And I think this stuff very, very... In that same league, but lower pricing. The one thing that I thought was interesting, the guy told me, he said, hey, the owner of Hawk, he was actually there.
Yeah.
He was actually there. And he had sold Hawk. He owned a crossbow company, too, which I cannot remember which one it was. And it's a big name, and I can't remember the name. He sold them off.
It wasn't Centerpoint.
And, but anyway, and he said he's going to create a product line that he can be proud of.
Yeah.
That's a high-end product line. And if you go to the huntarsenal.com, it's got like one saddle platform on there right now.
But it's the little one.
Yeah.
The big one that we were
the 14-inch one is
real nice.
Really nice. But they have a 14-inch platform. They have 11-inch platform. They have a saddle called the Cloud Saddle.
And boy, I like the look of that, how it comes up on you higher, and you can micro-tune that to help take some pressure off your back.
It is so light. Yeah. They call it the Cloud because it's so light.
Yeah.
And then they have a set of climbing sticks that are also extremely light. Telescoping climbing sticks. And that was really impressive. They have a whole line coming out on their website soon. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things about going to these shows. In the day and age now that we have, where there's all these specialty hunting companies, right? But you can't get to the store.
It's all digital. You can't get your hands on it.
You can't get your
stuff.
Hands on it, right? Yeah. It's just like I went to the company, clothing company, hunting clothing company, Treezen. Tree ZYN.
Yeah.
Right? And I never would have touched their stuff in a million years, thought about it as any kind of quality. And I went over, I got my hands on it, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this stuff is really good. Magnets for closing their pockets.
Right.
Tape seams.
Yeah.
Durable water-resistant protection. I mean, just every little feature that you want on your clothing.
Yeah.
And quiet. You could really tell it was quiet. I was impressed. I really was. So I was surprised that they were that good. But that's just like anything. It's like Numa.
Yeah.
I went to Numa. I found out. We got
heated vest.
I bought the heated core vest, so I look forward to testing that.
So that's much bigger.
You put on the Waypoint stuff, didn't you?
Yes. Very nice. I'll say this. Was it Four Low?
Four Low was there, yeah.
So anyway, we leave the archery hall after going through that and getting to talk to different vendors and getting hands on some of the stuff. So we exit that, going out into the main hall where we can actually get our hands on some of these clothes. And I think we first stopped at Kuyu. And then after Kuyu, we stopped at Forlow.
Numa, and then Forlow.
Numa, and then Forlow. Yeah. So I was actually very impressed with Forlow's line. Their pants with the knee pads in them, incorporated right in to the pants.
They're called they're stretch woven, all climate stretch woven pants.
Now, me being exclusively a ground hunter, this really fed into me because I was like, ooh, the knee pads. I really like that. The material was off the hook. I was really impressed with Forlow. I will definitely be looking into them in the future.
You know what surprised me? Because I did their Forlow Solaire early season stuff. You know, I have their pants. I have the hoodie and stuff. And I wasn't as happy with the early season pants. I thought they were not quite, you know, as far as the quality's there, definitely quality, and the bug protection's there.
Okay.
But they had like one pocket in the pants and stuff, and it really didn't. I was like, and they feel so thin. But after getting my hands on their all clima jacket, their all clima stretch woven pant that they had there, and some of the other stuff, the higher end stuff that they have there, as far as jackets,
they're pretty elite.
I was like, wow, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong. These are really, really good. So I was really impressed, Forlow.
I did like, Forlow, shout out to you guys. I'm pretty impressed, too.
And the one thing about Forlow, their thing stands for the love of hunting. And they are 100% made in the USA. That's one of the things that really sets them apart.
Yeah.
So they're priced a little higher because of that, but the quality was definitely there after we took a look at it.
Hey, you're just supporting American jobs by buying from them, so that's a positive there.
I was very impressed. I definitely changed my mind on that.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have actually gave them the time of day until I actually got my hands on the stuff.
And that's the thing, until you get your hands on it, you don't know.
And that's the kind of goes along with what you were just saying. In a digital world where everything's pick up your phone and you're just purchasing stuff that you've never actually got your hands on. If you can get around to a show like this or a shop that has stuff that's not Sitka, that's not, you know, First Light or whatever, nothing against them. Trust me, I own my fair share of Sitka stuff, so there's nothing against them. But there are other companies out there that are doing it too.
They're doing great work.
They're doing great. Forlow blew me away. Numa, I was pretty damn impressed with them too. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
And I, as I always say, Osseo gear is fantastic.
Yeah. Kuyu.
Kuyu is definitely great. I love Kuyu stuff.
Yeah.
And the, what was I going to say? Oh, I know what I was going to say. Huntworth.
I was actually going to bring
They weren't at the show.
They weren't at the show, but when we went to Serious Archery Product.
They are sponsored by Huntworth.
They are sponsored by Huntworth. And we had a little joke about that. The one guy was wearing some Huntworth base layer shirt, t-shirt or whatever underneath, and Mike says to me, he goes, "Look, Dan, it's Huntworth."
There's the disruption.
I love it for the price point.
The disruption camo. Yeah. They go, "Oh yeah, we're sponsored by it." And they actually said to us exactly what we had actually said on a previous podcast, which is, they're like, "Yeah, we didn't realize how good Huntworth was until we wore it."
Now, it does not fit like Sitka. It does not fit like, I actually just tried on your First Light stuff that you just got. It doesn't fit like that. Nothing does. Those are at a different level.
More,
yeah,
and I'm testing more gear.
But the quality of the material and what it is for the price point,
absolutely,
you're going to get a coat and pair of pants for the price that you would get one pair of bibs through Sitka or something like that.
And I told them the thing that I discovered recently, which is that the Huntworth Elkins, it's Elkins, jacket and their vest are almost identical to the Sitka Stratus.
Yeah, yeah.
And at a fraction of the price.
And they have that, what is it, heat core or heat boost?
Heat boost technology. In the Saskatoon.
In the Saskatoon, that's what I have. And it was the last day of rifle season, and I think it was like 18 degrees when we went out that morning, and I went up and sat up on top of that ridge, a little bit of a breeze going, and I was just snug as a bug in a rug. So I'm pretty impressed with Huntworth. I mean, they call it the Walmart brand. No, it's not. It's like, you got to put it on to understand. You got to see what it is to understand. Please don't count it out. It's good quality stuff, man.
Yeah, and I've been extremely impressed by it.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
It's definitely great gear.
Yeah.
But the one thing about that show is that they've expanded it so much.
Yeah.
I mean, just like we just said, just hunting clothing brands that we saw there. Of course, Sitka was not there, but it was Kuyu, Numa, Osseo, yeah. Treason, Forlo.
Oh. What's the one that has the really cool camo pattern?
There was Badlands, had stuff there.
Yeah. It wasn't Badlands, it was...
Osseo, as I said before.
Sorry, I'm drawing a blank. Don't get me wrong, some of this show kind of looks like...
Oh, that WTF camo.
Yes. That was bizarre.
WTF camo is really weird looking. It's hard for... And they could be 100% right about it being good for deer vision. It's hard to know. But when you look at it, you say to yourself, I don't know if I could wear that anymore.
It's not very often that you come across
a lot of whites and stuff.
It is. It's not very often when you come across a hunting line of clothing or anything really in the hunting world, because things have been pretty similar, that stops you in your tracks and you go, what is that? Whoa. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was a really cool moment where you're like, this is what I'm talking about. This is what this show is about. Mm-hmm. Seeing that kind of stuff. Because like I was getting ready to say is, for the most part, there's a lot of the show that kind of feels like your open air flea market crap with the 100 knives that are like, you know, $20, $30 knives. It's nothing of major quality until you get to your benchmark stuff. And
Benchmade.
I realized as soon as I said it, I was like, that's not benchmark. That's different. But you know what I'm saying? Your Kershaws, So to get to see some of this new innovative stuff, that's what it's all about to me. It's stuff that you haven't seen.
Speaking of which, yesterday I went out and did a little bit of hiking, really. Didn't do any scouting, but I went up to a spot that I had to put a camera in there. I had to bear destroy my camera, so I put a camera back there. Anyway.
Sorry, is it the bear destroyed my camera? This is like a program. The bear destroyed my camera. The bear destroyed my camera.
Four cameras in 2 years, if you haven't heard the podcast before. Four cameras in 2 years. Oh. So anyway, I had recently been given the B7 binoculars from Maven.
Yeah.
Right, Maven Optics, and to test. So I have the identical binoculars for Vortex, but they are I can't think of the model right now. It's a lower model. It's one of the Vortex lower models.
I can run over there quick.
It's in the 200 varnish.
Yeah.
They're the varnish. I just thought of it. So anyway, took both pair up to the woods in the mountains and was once sitting at camp, and my wife and I were looking through, and I looked through the Vortex first. I handed them off to my wife. I picked up the Mavens, and they're the same power. They're 8x25 or 28 or
they're
whatever.
Better, aren't they?
26, whatever they are. And it was not even close.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first thing she said, which she's not an optics person, so this is a great test, really.
The person
that's not really has a dog in the fight.
That's like me with the saddle stuff.
She looked through, she was like, oh, wow, these are so much clearer. Those other ones were almost foggy.
That's saying something, because Vortex is incredible stuff.
Yeah, great.
It's just like, wow. I love hearing that about the Maven, because it's not very well known yet. Told you a guy that I work with has some stuff, and that's really cool to,
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, we tested just here. We tested...
the Raven rangefinder with the Maven.
Yes.
Am I saying that right? Yes. That just twisted me up a bit.
So Raven Crossbows has a $400
rangefinder,
which looks badass when you look at it.
It does. Boy, was I disappointed in that.
That is a disappointing, sorry guys, that's a disappointing rangefinder.
So we were shooting with the Maven in his basement, like literally right over here. He has this crawl space that goes back. So I hit the back wall with the Maven, it was 8 yards. I look up, do it again. 8 yards. I do it, hey, best out of three, right? It's like paper, rock, scissors. I do it with the Raven, and it was 16 yards. I looked, I'm like, do I have this on the right setting? Okay. I hit it again, 12 yards. 9 yards. 16 yards. And I'm like, what in the actual hell?
And it has to think about it too. You see,
it has hesitation in it.
Has these dots that go across the screen, so it's thinking about the range. And the Maven rangefinder is $50 more. It's their R1.
But like that.
It's instantaneous. I took it outside. I was doing 300 yards outside here, and range finding houses down the street. and the Maven was nailing them instantly, and the Raven couldn't go beyond 200. And it's a 1,200 yard range finder, and it was failing. So
I'm very disappointed. I'm a proud owner of an R10 Raven crossbow. I know the quality that's in that crossbow.
That's awesome.
It's elite. It's phenomenal. their range finder, I wouldn't buy it if I had to. I have a Nikon Arrow ID. I think it's the 2000. I'll take that over that Raven rangefinder. Why don't we crossfinder? What the hell's going on?
My $100 bone crusher rangefinder that my wife bought for me for Christmas,
you like that better?
Five, six years ago. Sad. It's better. I don't know what the problem is, but they need to get somebody. I don't know who they probably had somebody make it for.
Right, right.
Because they're not an optics thing. They get scopes and stuff. So they have.
Correct.
They probably have some kind of agreement with some other optics maker, but they need to go back to the drawing board on that one.
For what it's worth, highly disappointed.
Very disappointed.
But go Maven? No, Raven.
Yeah. So. I had actually never even heard of Maven before.
Yeah, I have because of the guy I worked, but...
And they contacted me and asked me if I'd, test some stuff out. And I was like, oh, sure. So, anyway, that's not very often, and I was also given the Raven one rangefinder to test as well, but I had to...
Send that back.
I had to send it back. I said, I can't...
In good faith.
Good conscience, right? I don't want to write a bad review for the company, right? They gave it to me to test. I don't want to give them a bad review.
But we just sat here and bashed them and said, what was the difference?
No, but I'm not going to do a written one that's on the internet then. And so here, this is just a clip out of a podcast. So I wouldn't do a straight video or a straight blog post talking about that. So I said, hey, I'm sending this back to you. I appreciate you let me review it, but I don't want to write a bad review for you. So
hey, for what it's worth, man, thanks for meeting me up there. I had a lot of fun getting to watch you buy the bow and go through that. Like, I wanted to be there for that moment, and I didn't think I was going to be able to get to experience that with you, because you could have bought it here or there or there. But being at the show, getting to be there when you bought it was a really cool moment. And man, thank you. Thanks for meeting me up there and hanging out with me up there. I really appreciated that.
No, I had a great time.
Heck yeah.
That outdoor show is definitely one of a kind. If you haven't been there and you can get there, it's one of the biggest on the East Coast. So.
It's so big. It's an all-day thing, and you're going to be tired because you're standing on the concrete all day, but damn, is it worth it. Yeah.
You got to think about when companies like Kuyu and all of them are coming from way out west to come to be at this show, you know there's something going on. Yeah. I mean, there was Latitude Outdoors, the saddle hunting company. There was Trophy Line. There was Cruiser. There was this Arsenal we talked about. Yeah. The Elevate, which really blew me away with their stuff. I really hadn't heard of Elevate, and I just saw that one of our friends actually just bought one of their stands. But so you can see things that you'll never see in your life, and finally get your hands on stuff that you want to see, and it's just great. So.
I had a lot of fun, even like looking at the little ground blinds and this and that, and the turkey hunting stuff, and hearing turkey calls go off in the background and this and that. It's just a good time.
They have
a huge
fishing section.
They have boats, RVs, e-bikes.
But I guess one of their biggest things that they really make a lot of money at up there is the outfitter stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a huge haul that's nothing but outfitters and hunting trips.
Yeah.
And fishing trips.
So. I mean, if you're ever curious about any of that, get up there and talk to them outfitters, I mean.
Get some of the best prices on trips you'll ever get.
Absolutely. So, but on that note, I really don't have anything else about you.
No, I think that we put a bow on it.
All right. Hey, thank you everybody for listening, watching. Hit that like button, subscribe, and send in some listener questions. As always, man, we appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.